And then, which I still will, because real quick, it was just kind of a young kid that I've been seeing. I mean, like 25-ish, whatever. And so I just like, I either talk to somebody like they do already know Jesus or they should. So I don't really, you know what I'm saying? And so then when I find out they don't or whatever, then, you know, they know where I stand. And so I said it right there. Anyway, he seems to be a real nice kid as far as smiling and so forth. So whatever. And then I went in the back room and whatever. And then I said, okay, so I'll say a word. So I interceded and prayed. And then I said, okay. So I got up and just went out.
Right.
And then gave him a word.
Good.
And he was very, very receptive. And he was a believer, so I mean that was good too.
Amen.
But anyway, so it was basically like I would say general and specific. And the reason why I say that is because we can take the word of God and we can apply it to everyone because it does apply to everyone.
Amen.
You know, just once you're a believer.
Then, yep. Yeah. Yep.
And so I kind of gave him like something like he had destiny to be a leader and God expected him to be the leader so that he could lead others.
Oh,
so I got
good.
To thinking about that this morning. And I was like, things were, you know, like verses and so forth. And I said, well, you know, God, I said, you've called all of us to be followers of Christ. Mm. So therefore we are leaders.
Mm-hmm.
And when we're a follower of Christ, you're going to lead someone and some of us will lead many. So I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Anyway, feel me leaning up.
You're doing good.
Follow.
No, I've got you.
Okay, I appreciate it.
I won't be as good as Sean, but I'll try.
Okay, you're good. Thank you.
Earl, you might want to come up and help me.
Right on the other side. So, anyway, so the two scriptures I gave us was Hebrews 3:13, and I'm always saying to people at work and so forth, I'll go, well, encourage one another while it is still day, and that means today. You know, it's kind of like... It's silly, but it, I mean, not silly, God forgive me. But I mean, you know what I'm saying by that. And it's so true, though. Encourage one another while it is still day.
Amen.
Then I started, you know how like you'll open up the word and you read the same scripture?
Mm-hmm.
And God forgive us, I didn't mean that again. You know what I meant. But so when I went to, thank you, Pastor.
Okay.
So I went to Hebrews, and you could turn to it probably quicker than me. There's Hebrews, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a Hebrews.
Okay. Thank you. And we'll flip the pages to 3:3.
Three, right, okay.
Do we got 3 here?
She doesn't know that this verse is in my sermon today.
Oh, okay. Well, God always
That's kind of a confirmation.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So, he was it Hebrews 3?
Yeah.
That's in your sermon?
I think so.
Oh, okay.
I'll find out when I get to it.
All righty, okay. Sounds cool. Okay. So, Hebrews 3:13, well, it says, but exhort one another daily while it is called today. And then listen to the rest of the verses. This is just so awesome, God. Don't you love God?
Yes.
Yeah. And lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin.
Mm.
Well, that's why it's been so important that God always used to tell me. Oh, isn't that funny? I mean, I thought it was kind of cute. Anyway, but sorry, I didn't mean to. I'm just.
You're good. Go for it.
And then the next scripture, but listen to how serious this is. Really serious. This is serious. It says, for we are made partakers of Christ.
Oh.
Now listen to the next. If we hold the beginning of our confidence, oh, I love it, steadfast unto the end. I mean, is that awesome?
Or what?
Isn't it awesome
yeah,
or what?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
That is so awesome.
Yeah.
So anyway, I just had to expound on that. I mean, God had to expound on it, but you know what I'm saying by that. And anyway, the next one was 2 Timothy 4:7, and that just says finish. And, you know, he doesn't say start. It doesn't matter when, where you started, or when you take it up again. It's finishing. You finish the course, right?
Amen,
right?
Girl.
Yeah, amen.
You're doing good. So, I'm going to receive another offering.
And last but not least, so that was a blessing for the young kid. Well, I'm on my way to church today.
Mike, oh, okay. All right, come here. Okay, I'll hold on then.
All right, thank you. So I'm on my way to church, and I'm thinking I'm doing a good thing by getting there early because I wanted to run and drop my paperwork off, and then I'll still get here early. Well, God has other plans. And I'm seeing this unfold across the street. I'm at the red light, and you could see it was a marital whatever going on, right? Or a You know what I'm saying. Female, male, little baby in the carriage.
Okay.
So I'm like, all right. So I, you know, turn around. I'm like, he's a big dude.
It's
That's
a big
fine, you know, whatever. And so she's on the other side of the street, and she's screaming, mind you.
Okay.
You know. So anyway, so I still, you know, whatever. I say, excuse me. And so I kind of start my sweet, because you know I can be sweet.
You can be sweet. Yes, you can.
And
yes,
so I you know, did that. And right away, I guess because he was such a big dude that he probably didn't want to, he went right away, he was apologetic and goes, I didn't hit her. I didn't lay my hands on her. Yeah. I don't know what he expected me to do anyway. Like, yeah, I'll report you, you know, as you're 9 feet over me. So anyway, so I went and I began to say, it's all right. Us women are emotional, and that's why we need the steadfast of you. And you know, and I'm talking about wives and husbands of Christ. And
doing a little counseling on the sidewalk.
Right. And so as cars are going around me and and he's like perspiring profusely and listening to this crazy woman, I decide to say, let's say a prayer. And so I pulled over there. I got out of my car. And he's towering. And I knew that his mother had passed. I said.
So you knew the guy.
A believer.
It was a witness.
Oh,
instead.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Thank you,
all right, that
you.
Makes it even more
okay,
more
you.
Precious.
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, glory to God.
Sorry,
all right.
So anyway, so I said, your mother was a believer, and she prayed for you. And he said, yes, ma'am. And he was very, very humble about that and everything.
We got you now, girl. We got you.
Wise man. Oh, anyway. So I was just, you know, so just I was telling him that. And it was very, and so anyway, before the young lady crossed the street, because I'm going, listen, it was across 90 and Bale and wherever that is.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going, Miss Rebecca. Now I'm yelling across to, you know, where I'm talking about, you know, where New Life Begins, you know.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
The CVS on the
uh-huh,
corner.
Uh-huh.
And I'm yelling, beckoning her, Miss Rebecca, so she didn't think I was this weird whatever. And so, anyway, it was really nice. I'm taking too long, aren't I? Anyway,
but it's
it
good.
Was really cool because he said, I heard my mother.
Oh.
And so that was really cool.
There you
and
go.
Then, and then she was brought over, and I said, similar things to her, I said, let's pray. I said, come on, join hands. Kiss and make up almost. You know what I'm saying? I didn't say that, of course. You know what I'm saying? But that's why I was like, you know, join hands, we're going to pray. And so these two people that, and I said, you know, sometimes we just need Jesus in the flesh. And I kind of hope I was that.
Amen.
But they were both really appreciative.
They
really were.
And they quit hollering and arguing and stuff. Come on, girl. Amen. Give it up. Amen. All right, Cassidy, come on. I know you want to. Why, Cassidy's coming up. I enjoyed every minute of it. I did. As she's coming, not supposed to say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. Happy birthday, Stephanie. Okay.
Happy birthday. Okay, testing. So, I just wanted to give a funny testimony. Yesterday I was out exercising, and after I was done, I just got a pretty really bad allergy attack. Like, you know, itchy, watery eyes. Like my nose was just clogging up. I couldn't breathe through it. I was sneezing a whole bunch, and I hate allergies. I hate them so much. And you know, usually when anything like that happens, I pray. Well, it just kept on, and it kept on, and it kept on. Well, I ended up going over to Aaron and Jason's, and I was in the kitchen doing something, and she came in, and she was, like, rubbing lotion on her hands or whatever, and I saw her hands, and I'm like, I didn't give it a second thought. I just went over to where I'm like, and I grabbed her hands, and I put her hands on my face. I just started, like, smacking my face with her hands. I'm like, tell it to go away in the name of Jesus. Command it to go. And so she did that. And then she's like, well, why don't I just blow up your nose or something? I'm like, yeah, okay.
That'll be good.
So she did. She blew up my nose. And after that, it was gone.
Amen.
It was gone.
All right. That works.
And it kept trying to come back, but it's nowhere near as bad. And I noticed there was a difference. Like, it wasn't clogging up and stuff. Instead, it was reacting as if I had taken a Claritin D or something. That's what I usually take for allergies and stuff, but I don't take medicine anymore. And my body was reacting as if I had taken medicine. So it's just, it was hilarious, though. And I guess the point of me sharing was this, you never know how your miracle is going to manifest.
Amen. Thank you. Anybody else? You need this? Okay.
Just real quick, I thought I would share with everybody. I know it seems like I'm getting a new job every 2 weeks or something. But I left Gainesville and came back to Lake City, and I've been working here in Lake City for about a month and doing what I used to do 10 years ago, you know, working on cars and stuff. But I got a call a couple weeks ago from a gentleman. He said, hey, I've got a new shop. I'd love for you to come run it. I said, okay. So we worked out all the particulars, and it all went well, and I start my new job tomorrow.
Sweet. Where is it? Can you tell us?
It's in Live Oak.
Oh.
Live Oak, and I'm not even going to have to drive. He said, you can ride with me, because he lives right down the road.
Well,
so,
that works.
I can drive if I want, but it's just awesome the way it worked out that God opened a door I didn't even know was there.
Well, there was an answer to prayer, amen? Yeah. That big-time answer. It's always good to have a paycheck. Somebody say, yeah. Anybody else? All right, come on, Gene. I was hoping you was going to raise your hand. Gene and Toby had a wonderful time. Lots of good stuff that happened over there. I was reading her social feed pretty much every day.
I want to thank everyone for your prayers. I mean, I literally felt the prayers because I only had about a week in Japan, not realizing I was supposed to visit four places. So we were taking the train up for 2-3 hours and then have a meeting and sleep in the hotel, take a train back, and then we sleep in the hotel. And then next morning we went back on the train and went and had a meeting. It was just crazy because we were going on the train every day.
Right.
And so I was kind of worried about being tired since, you know, we're two of us and we're not young anymore, so, but
not
Lord,
as young. Not as young.
But the Lord was so great. He's given me strength every day.
Amen.
And it was like the two places that I went this time was a new place got opened again, and so. But every time I went, all the message they needed the message, and they received it. The fire, remember. We prayed the fire, I think Earl did.
Mm-hmm.
And when I went up to D.C., George and Van Alf and Rick Pino were having 50-hour prayer, praise meeting over there. And we went there, end of the 50-hour thing. And George and prayed for us.
Oh, sweet.
And their team prayed for us, and they were all saying fire, 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 like a dynamite, and, you know, God is lighting the fuse, and then it's exploding, you know, everywhere we went.
I
had released the fire over them, and they all felt it, and they received it. And one place I went was only one lady.
Wow.
That little lady I, you know, took a picture with, she was only one, but see, she's the one that God gave me the message, you know, first. And the whole Romans. And she just lost her husband. And her husband was her world. And she was lost. She didn't know what to do. And so those words ministered to her. And I was able to encourage her and pray for her. And she got revived. And we broke all the grounds, hard grounds there. Mm-hmm. So that people's heart will melt to come to the Lord. And then I went to the another one, and there was these two ladies that weren't Christians.
Wow.
And so after the message, Lord gave me both messages, and after I spoke, they received the Lord.
Wow.
I was so blown off. And one of the lady was Jehovah's Witness. She was Jehovah's Witness over 10 years. And when I gave her a message, and then I went to her, I said, you know, do you want to meet this Jesus that I was talking about? She just started crying, and she said, yes.
How cool was that?
She said even Jehovah's Witness Church she went to, she didn't know what they were talking about, but this message, she knew what I was talking about. So
that's so cool.
It was like God had prepared those people and just opened the door. And so I just went and got a harvest. So I think the harvest field is ready.
Yes.
And
yes.
I was talking to the Japanese ladies too. That's why I ministered to the leaders, because they need to get ready. Mm-hmm. And I just felt like that the harvest is not just going to come one or two, but it's going to come in groups. Mm. And so I had them, you know, I prayed impartation, and they're ready when people are coming.
Amen.
For the Lord. So amen. I just want to thank you again for the prayers. We're back safe.
When do you when do you think you're going back? Oh, okay. That's probably a good thing, right? Amen. Amen. Well, if you get your Bibles out or your iPhone or your phone or whatever else you got, you can go to Galatians chapter 6, and we'll get there in a minute. So glad that you're here today. I had the privilege of doing a fair bit of traveling. And it seems like the Lord is expanding some of my opportunities. Going into Cuba on the 24th of June, I meet tomorrow all afternoon with a team going into Trinidad. So hopefully we'll have some of that nailed down. Hopefully by next tomorrow afternoon, late. So we'll have to wait and see. But in my travels, not in every place, but it seems like it's what's the word, systemic, that I'm meeting a lot of people who are weary. They're just weary. If you know what I'm talking about? It's one thing to be weary after you work for 10 hours and you've sweated 5 pounds of water and you're ready to get a good meal and go to sleep, but it's another thing just to be wearied by life and just kind of road. My daddy always said, you know, I just feel road hard and put up wet. You know, it's one of those type of deals. And there's all kind of pressures that I'm running into as I talk to people. I went to a meeting yesterday, and I was asked to write. It was a birthday for one of the disciples up in Valdosta, and I was asked to write things that hopefully would bless her, and I just wrote things that I saw in her life over the last 3 years, and she just starts she was reading it and starting to tear up a little bit, and she said, how do you know me so well? And I said, well, you know, if you'll shut up and just listen to people, you know, eventually you start picking up stuff, you know, so it really encouraged her and blessed her, but she confessed about just being weary and how, you know, just, in the natural she should be. She had 3 jobs, and she was so ecstatic to be able to say, I just resigned from one of my jobs, and because she was working hard and trying to make ends meet. She's a single mom with 4 children, and, it was like help me Jesus situation. So, you know, there's financial pressures, there's relational pressures that I'm running into with people, directional type of pressures that people are facing right now. I didn't know what else to call it, but spiritual compromise that sometimes as you talk to people and as you I have several meetings outside the church that I meet and disciple. I've got several discipleship groups, as small as 2 and as large as 6, I'm thrilled to watch the word have an impact upon these young lives, and yet when the word comes, it comes with truth and grace, and seeing them struggle with some of the things that they've compromised. The other thing is failures. There's been how many of you know failure is not final, and yet oftentimes when you go through something and you just mess up. Whether it's your fault or the circumstances just lined up where come what may, as much as you tried, it just didn't work. There's failures, and as a result of that, it seems like there. I wrote in my note, there's people are anemic in faith. My little granddaughter is taking medicine because she's anemic, and she's doing better. But she had an adverse reaction to the medicine. She'd take it, and about 30 minutes later, throw up, you know. But they were getting her iron up and things of that nature, and it finally leveled out for her. But it was just that same when you're anemic, you iron poor blood. What was that? Geritol commercial? Was it an iron poor blood? You know, it's like we need some Geritol of the Holy Ghost, you know, and it just weighs on me. It really weighs on me, because if we know the covenant, if we know we've been born again, and we know that He desires to fill us with His Spirit, that even though there is a lot of crazy stuff that goes on in our lives, what should be sure is our faith. And our faith, it says in 1 John, overcomes the world, and it burdens me. I don't lose sleep over it, but lately, as I'm going to bed, I start praying for a particular situation, and I'll sit there and pray for 30 minutes and kind of like, okay, Lord, I got to get some sleep here. So, you know, and sometimes He lets me go to sleep, and other times He goes, yeah, watch this, you know, one of those type of things. So I have to kind of just pray through for those individuals, and I want so much for every believer, particularly if you come here. I want us to so much be so in love with Jesus and so involved with His Word. And more importantly, that His Word is so involved in our lives that what we read here becomes systematic and standard for us. I was at that meeting the other day, and I was sitting there having a, it was nice. I had a nice, you know, steak, a nice little filet thing going on there, and, you know, it was just suffering for Jesus there, and I was just really enjoying it. I hadn't had a steak in so long, and my sweetie had been away all week, not all week, but all weekend, starting on Thursday, and she's picking up some extra, what do they call them, CUs, extra whatever it is, educational credits that she has to have for her job. So I was sitting there, and you know, when mama's away, how many of you know us guys, we know how to cook, right? So it's a lot of saltine crackers and Verona sauces. I mean, it's just, you know, one of those type of things. And cereal. Dear Lord, do we go through the milk when my wife is gone, you know. It's only we, or you would go out to eat. But anyhow, I was sitting there, and all of a sudden, they just all start talking about spiritual warfare and the attacks that they're under, and you know. And I'm sitting there eating my steak, and just, you know, and the steamed broccoli. Oh, sweet Jesus! It was just right, just a tad bit of butter on it, just melted in your mouth. It was like, and they finally, after they got through telling me all these crazy things, they looked at me and said, "What about you, Terry? What's going on in your life? You have spiritual warfare?" I said, yeah, I do. Well, what do you do? I said, I generally just ignore it. I've gotten used to it. He said, what? I said, I just got used to it. I just keep right on trucking. You know, it's kind of like, yeah. I teased him. I said, you know, most of the time when I'm in a prayer group, that's why I walk. When I walk, when I pray, I walk. Because if the devil's going to bother me, he's going to have to keep up, you know. He's going to have to catch me and when he's doing it. And I guess what I'm getting at is the attitude was so different, and I'm not trying to in any way belittle what they went through. I know it was real, and some of them were, you know, heartbreaking. I've been through some of those as well. But the truth of the matter is, if you read Scripture, it's replete with examples of how powerful our faith is in God. And if you read Revelation, around Revelation chapter 2, what does he keep saying to the churches there? Is he in those passages of Scripture? To him who overcomes. I mean, I could turn there, but for time's sake, I'm not going to do it. Through every one of the churches, Thyatira, Philadelphia, whichever ones, Galatians, all those churches, he would give, he'd kind of give an assessment of what's going on. I have this against you. You left your first road. You know, I've seen your faith, that you've contended with him. And every one of them, he would say, but to him who overcomes. So God is very much interested in the fact that this is a day and an hour that if we're going to overcome, we've got to persevere. And that's why I gave that word earlier today, is that if there ever was a time to persevere in your faith, now is that time. It's not time to give a foothold to the enemy. It is not time to, to back off the accelerator. It's not time to slow down. It's time, if anything, to maintain the same intensity of your walk with God and maybe even increase it a little bit. And it says this in Galatians chapter 6. It says this. Now let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as you have opportunity, let us all do good, or do good to all, especially those, he says, of the household of faith. Now you can go with me also to 2 Thessalonians. I'll read there. I got a bunch of them, but I won't do it for time's sake today because we had so many good testimonies. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and it says this in verse 13. But as for you, brethren and sisters, do not grow weary in doing good. Do not grow weary in doing good. And then, of course, Galatians talks about losing heart. When I read this, God wants us, each of us, to have such an experience, an increasing experience of his presence and his power that will be enough for the day's activity wherever you are. So instead of, in Gene's little example, and you've got these people hollering and screaming and stuff. I did that one time, and the guy, I was minding my own business. It was at my previous church, and I heard all the hollering and screaming, and I was in my office. That's how loud it was. And so I walked outside, and they were hollering and screaming, and I thought, well, they look like a young married couple. They're just kind of getting to know each other. And then he grabbed her by the throat and started choking her. Well, that was it. I couldn't. That was it. And I hollered at him, and he let go of her, and she ran off, and then he bowed up, and he was, talking about what he was going to do to my backside and all this other kind of stuff. So we had a little prayer meeting, and he came to his senses. And I won't unpack that, but we met ahead of meeting of the minds and hearts. And it's just that you're able for every moment there. You're able for every now. I probably in that encounter I didn't do it exactly by the Spirit. Probably could have used a little sweetness that Gene had on me, the maybe kind of, Proverbs 15, a soft word, he diffuses anger, But I blame it on my daddy. Stanley Shiver rose up inside of me. And I mean, of all the things I learned from him, you do not hit a woman. And I've learned that from him. I passed that on to my boys. But there's such a plethora of scriptures that you can talk about. And let me just, if you're taking notes, you can write these down. 1 Corinthians 15, 57 and 58. All of Revelation chapter 2 talks about overcoming. I love Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6, where it talks about he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. I love that one. Matthew 10, 22 is another one. 1 Timothy 4. 12 through 16. Again, it talks about persevering and moving forward. James 1, 22 through 24. There's just a whole host of them that are there. And I noticed two things as I was reading this passage of Scripture, is that number one, you don't grow weary. So, I mean, in other words, you just don't wake up one day and go, I think I'll be weary. Yeah, it doesn't happen that way. You actually grow into weariness. And then the second thing it says is don't lose heart. Some translation says don't faint. Don't be faint of heart. And so what that tells me from the Scripture is that there's got to be a level of cooperation from me for that to occur in my life. For me to back off or to get under the circumstances or allow them to beat me up, to lose a sense of faith in my walk with God, whatever the case may be. The word there for growing weary is actually a word that talks about intrinsic worthlessness. So what that it tells me that it has everything to do with the way I see myself. If I see myself as worthless, as a loser, or I can't get away from that thing that the Lord spoke to me driving down the car when I was going up to another meeting, and he said, "Oh, by the way, you're not a troublemaker," and I didn't realize I had lived up underneath that attitude. I never was able to put it in those words, and it was just something come off of me. It was like a deliverance. I went through a deliverance, and so I added to it, "I'm not a troublemaker. I'm not a loser, and I'm not insignificant." And that's been my confession for a number of weeks now. When I would get up, and I would just brush my teeth, and I'm not a troublemaker, I'm not a loser, you know. And I would just say it to myself. It's so important. It's an inside job. If you do not have the strength for the call of God on your life, it's about the inside. What's going on in your heart? Because the Scripture tells us that if we allow that to get into our thinking, then we're going to grow into faintness. That we're going to pull back. Jesus said, "If you put your hand to the plow and look back," what did he say? It's one of the most profound statements. It's almost harsh and cruel. If you look back, he said, "What? You're not what? You're not worthy. You're not fit for the kingdom of God." So you begin to get a feel for the heart of God in this matter. It's a serious accusation that the enemy would try to bring on you and I and infiltrate our lives and our thinking so that we begin just to kind of pull back and we move out of a realm of grace and mercy and love, and you get into a realm of what I call just naturalness. I mean, you're not beating up your wife, since we had that testimony. You're not beating up your spouse. You don't even kick your dog when you come home. You know, you're nice. You have a sweet temperament, but you've just lost heart in the extraordinariness of who God is. And so you know, there was a time in my life, God forbid. But I worked my way through college driving a semi-truck. And let me tell you something. I earned every penny of it. I peddled freight for a living. And, I was grateful for my job. I really was. It was good money, good benefits. But let me tell you something. When you change clothes at 1 o'clock in the afternoon because you're sweated so much and you smell your own stinkiness, you're working. I'm telling at that point, because I would actually take a change of clothes with me and go in around 1 o'clock and change out and try to do a few, and, you know, put more deodorant on stuff. And so I wouldn't stink so bad when I went to the next stop, you know. The last thing that I was like that guy on Peanuts with the cloud behind him, except my cloud was just like bugs and gnats following me all over the place. And I remember just, I was so thankful, but I did not have a problem falling asleep at night. I'm telling you. And I remember when I was getting this degree, this last degree of mine, about that third or fourth year, and it was like, you know, I didn't know if I had it or if it had me. It was like grabbing a tiger by the tail. And I remember walking to go get a soda. I took a break, and I was thinking about what was coming, and it was so overwhelming. And I heard myself say, you know, driving a truck right now is not looking too bad. And then I stopped, and I said out loud, what did I just say? Driving a truck's not looking real bad right now? I said, God, forgive me. You didn't. That was a season in my life, but you've called me to this. And if you've called me to this, then you're going to enable me to do it. So something shifted in me. About that third year, I honestly contemplated quitting. I honestly contemplated pulling back. And I was praying to the Lord. Have you ever tried to talk God into a decision you want?
Yeah.
You do this little bargaining thing with it, you know. Come on, don't look at me so pious and holy. I know what you know, I was bargaining with the Lord and this, that, and that. If you do this, and you know, I can do this, you know, I'll have more time to do this. And you know, after all, what is all this book learning is going to do for me? And blah, 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 blah. And I went on down. And it was like the Lord just let me keep running in my mouth. And he said, okay, that's fine. And I thought, oh, good, I won the argument. He said, but what example is that going to set for your sons? I said, shut up. But I put my hand back on the plow, and I did it. You know, I plowed through it. So, amen. So, he said, don't lose heart or don't grow faint. It actually means to pull back. You know what it means? It means just to relax. It tells you something about the kingdom of God. You're always pushing into it. Now, please don't misunderstand me. I believe in vacations. I mean, we hadn't had one in like almost 3 years, and we're trying to get one this year. Didn't have one last year because, not to mention any names, but we spent everything out in California. So, I mean, I wasn't exactly, you know, 10 hours in intensive care every day for, you know, 2 months. That's not exactly a, you know, a vacation that I was thinking about. But, you know, we're trying to fit that in. I'm not against that. Sometimes you need to pull aside. And, you know, what I do on vacation is I have one question. What are we going to eat today? That's it. I don't entertain anything else, and I have 3 or 4 good books. I just sit there and read, and Nancy every night says, can you give me a Coke? So I have to get up and go get her a Coke, and we just sit there and I relax. But then the whole point of it is to rejuvenate, so when I get back in life, I'm hitting that thing, going for it. I'm not pulling back. My strength is not sapped. Is your strength being sapped? Is the vitality of your relationship with God being drained? Well, it's probably a good thing to say, what is it? Or maybe, who is it? Because I'm telling you, here's good news. When you were born again into a warfare. It's war out there. And the enemy does not want any more souls coming into the kingdom. All right? He does not want that to be a reality. And so he will do anything and everything to cause us to lose heart, to grow weary. And I want to say something here. So as I was praying about all of this, the whole concept of desire came to me. And listen to Psalms 37. There's something so powerful about your desires. It says, trust in the Lord, verse 3, you know this, and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. There is something so powerful about your desires that fuel your strength. And if your strength is fueled, you will not back off. I call it the secret of desires. When you have a desire in your heart, You run after it. You don't back down. You do everything in your power. If you come at that desire this way and you meet a blockage, you will back up, but only for the purpose of coming at it this way. And if that stops, you'll back up and come at it this way, only for the purpose so that that desire that God has placed in you will become a reality. And there's so many, so in this, over, this is like maybe a 6 months sermon thing, because I journal a lot of it, but as I've listened to people in their perseverance and they're losing their strength and they're beaten down and they kind of are victim, and I was just listening to what they're having to say, and after I get home, I'd write out my notes. I would eventually say, well, tell me about your future. What do you see coming? And it was never 100% of the time did any of them tell me about a real desire that they had. All they told me about was all the issues. And the one that had faith, the one that was moving forward, when I asked that question, they began to tell me about the desires of their heart and what they saw God had for them and how it was fueling their passion. Hannah. She's a crazy Holy Ghost girl. She just graduated from college with a degree in Spanish with a certificate with that to teach English as a second language because she wants to be a missionary, right? So I made the mistake of asking her, because see, I'm trying to eat my steak, right? And so you have to be polite and, you know, turn your head. So I made the mistake she's going out to Bethel. She's flying down to Ecuador for the summer, going to serve down there. And then she's flying out for 3 years to go to Bethel. She's going through all 3 years of their school. And so I said, how do you see that working out for you? Because see, I was feeling for her desires. Let me tell you something. 30 minutes. I was sitting there listening to her heart's desire coming out and how God had spoken to her, even down to the whole level about how she's going to work. This is not a fly-by-night girl, all right? She's like 21 or 22. She just started telling me about her husband, because she's not married. She just started telling me about her husband and what he was going to be like and what they're going to do together. See, that desire started rising up. And I said, yeah, I said, a husband. She said, yes. I said, I've been praying about this and pressing into it. She said, and she calls me Mr. Terry. She says, Mr. Terry, you don't know how many guys I've told no. And, of course, I'm not talking sexually. I'm just talking about they come around trying to get friendly. And she, you know, said, go take a hike. Because she'd look at them and she'd listen to what they're saying. And she's going, it's not there. Because, you see, she said, my husband, we're going to go into the world together. We're going to be a powerful team. So I'm just sitting there. I'm listening to her eating my steak. I'm getting built up. And I'm thinking, this is perfect for tomorrow's sermon. It's a great illustration. All this desire began to come out. And then I thought, I'm going to play the devil's advocate. Because she ain't rich. Anybody get a witness? I said, well, what are you going to do with all these bills? She said, I ain't going to do a thing with them. I said, really? She said, yeah. God told me he's got it. I said, okay. And then I shared an experience that Nancy and I had when we went out to California. Because we didn't have the money either. And I didn't have an answer. And your mamas and daddies, you know, God bless them. And I tend to do the same thing. But it's kind of like my daddy said, okay, well, that's great. I'm glad you're going to go study. But son, how are you going to eat? How are you going to pay your electric bill? It's kind of like I'm going to try to get a job. Well, do you have any prospects? No. Well, you're not instilling a lot of, you know, hope in me here, buddy. I mean, you know, are you sure you're a shy? We don't think that way. I said, well, maybe I'm blazing a new trail for us, you know. And I had the joy of telling her. I said, listen, Hannah, I was there 3 days and had a job. I said, I didn't even look for it. It came to me. And I said, now, it wasn't, you know, wasn't megabucks or anything, but I had a job, paid rent, and I got some groceries. and God did some other things. So I guess what I'm getting at here, I've got more, but just grade yourself right now. And be honest. I mean, you don't have to tell anybody, but where are you? Are you pushing in? Or do you feel like you're losing heart? Do you feel like that you're kind of backing off? You're relaxing, and are you tired of the struggle? Where are you in all of that? Now, based upon how you answer that, now answer this question. What are you desiring? Now, you know, I know there's certain logistical stuff. I want to pay my mortgage. I want to eat. You know, I want all these, you know, things. But I'm talking about that motivating, driving force that gets you out of bed with a spring. Puts a smile on your face. What are you desiring? What are you desiring? Because if your strength is backing off and you feel road hard and put up wet in the spirit, it's time for you to get along with Jesus and say, now, Lord, what was that word that you put deep in my heart? That became the very path of my life. Let me give you some questions, and I've got three other points, but I'll stop with this. What moves you? What moves you? Number two, do you allow others to influence your desires? In other words, do you let other people talk you out of what you feel like God's put in your heart to do? Eventually, with my mom and dad, of course, my mom, they're both in heaven now, and they were just doing the mom and dad thing because my daddy's old school. I mean, my mom and dad had CDs in the bank, and my mom still collected aluminum cans. And the reason why is because they came up through the Depression. You never know when you need that $1.30 from 5 pounds of aluminum cans, you know. And I eventually had to get to a place with all these questions that I just had to look at them and say, Dad, I don't know. I just know I got to do this. And I may fall flat on my face. And if I do, I'll call you up and ask you to wire me $1,000. And when I get home, I'll tell you you were right. And then I'll pay you back. And he said, well, that ain't exactly what I wanted to hear, but okay. Do you allow others to influence you? Did I tell you about the bank story? Have I told you about the bank story when I was a little 17 year? I was in love with Jesus. I was crazy in love with Jesus. And Mr. Williams, God bless him. He came to me one day, pulled me aside. I was on the old NCR posting machines. I'm showing my age here. Big old suckers that you feed it in there and you put the credits and you subtract the debt, you know, the bank checks and stuff. And he pulled me aside and said, "Mr." He said, "Terry, we've been watching you, and we want to offer you a position." And I thought to myself, well, I already have a position. I sit here at this machine all day long and punch in numbers. He said, no, we want to make you an officer of the bank. I said, what? And we want to send you to school. Send me to school. And we want to pay for all of it. And we've already talked to your daddy. I thought, oh, crap. So I get home. My daddy's back the back door. He's beaming with pride. My son, the bank manager. I can get me a loan anytime I want to, you know. So he sat me down and talked to me. He said, son, this is a silver platter. You don't get this every day. It's a once-in-a-lifetime experience. I know you're going to take this. No. No, Daddy, I'm not going to do it. What are you going to do with your life? I'm going to live for Jesus. What? You know what he said? You can't make any money doing that. I wish he was still alive. He'd be here today. He grew to be my biggest fan. I didn't know what else to say. I just knew there was something in me. It wasn't maybe 2 or 3 months. You know, I realized in the midst of all of that, he was so mad at me. It's the only time I ever heard my daddy cuss me. That's how mad he got. I mean, cuss me personally. He's cussed the paint off the wall and stuff, that, you know, but me personally. So I knew that I had to get out of there quick. So I, you know, a month later, I resigned, you know. I went over to the print shop and was folding papers and doing all kind of crazy stuff. And then it wasn't 2 months later, I was in Youth of the Mission, and the rest is history. And let me tell you something. I am so glad that I did not. And I love my daddy. Listen, I respected him. I mean, there's two people I feared in earth, and it was God and my father, and sometimes not in that order. And I wanted to honor him. But I just said, Dad, it's not in me. I don't see myself doing that for the rest of my life. And you know, if I would have never met my wife. Can you imagine me without Nancy? I mean, I'm rough around the gills as it is. You should have seen me before I met her. I'm so glad that I pressed in. And I didn't let somebody else influence my desires. Last one. How do you feel about not obtaining your desires? Would you rather not even try? I hope you understand when I'm talking about the secret of desires as it relates to being with your hands on the plow and not looking back. I'm not talking about a week or two here. I'm talking about a journey. I'm talking about a journey. I got a verse here that I forgot what it was. Let me turn to it. You can turn to 2 Peter. And we'll close with this. I used to have 2 Peter in my Bible. Let's see. There it is. Okay. Verse 5. But you also, for this very reason, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. Now let's read on. For if these things are yours and abound, right? You will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness and has forgotten that he or she was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brothers and sisters, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, here's a great promise. Mark it in your Bible. If you do these things, you will never stumble. Isn't that a great promise? And so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. make sure that you're adding these qualities to your faith. Make sure that the desires that God has placed in your heart are the fundamental reasons why your heart beats. And do not settle for anything less than what God has put within you. Now, I'm going to go on and talk about maybe next week. Is next week Mother's Day? I forget. I can't remember. In the near future, I'll go ahead and talk about some other things as it relates to pressing into the walk that God has for us. One of the things is this. Don't throw away your confidence. Another one is learning how to strengthen yourself in the Lord. And we'll look at some of those characteristics that will hopefully encourage you as well. Any questions before we go to prayer? Any comments? Any deletions? Anybody need prayer? Anybody taking their hand off the plow and just need a good old prayer of encouragement? If you need prayer, I want to pray for you today. Everybody doing good? All right. It's your moment to shine. Are you following? Come on, girl. Come on down here. Let me pray for you. Grab your husband. There you go. Anybody else? Are you following after the desires of your heart? Maybe I should back it up a statement. Do you even have any desires in your heart? Come on. Y'all come on over here. I want to pray for you. I just want to bless you real quick. Anybody else? Come on, Mildred. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. When I was at Fuller, when I went to church, I got in every prayer line there was. I thought it was a prayer line, and actually it was the line to the bathroom. And I had to kind of check a little bit more. Come on down here. Can we gather around these guys? Guys, come on. Yo, rest of you, come on. Evidently you're doing pretty good. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to just give a moment. If you feel like you have a word of encouragement for these folks, just give it, all right? It's what the Scripture says we need to do, right? Encourage one another daily. I didn't quite get to Hebrews. Actually, that's in one of my other points where it talks about encouraging one another daily. So, Lord, we just pause for these families that are represented here. And, Lord, we just ask, God, that you would just... first of all, we just thank you for Isaiah 50. It says you've given us the tongue of the wise, of the learned, that we may know how to give a word in season to him who is weary or who needs to press in. And so we just thank you for that. And we pray now, God, that you would just touch these families, these couples, with your grace and your mercy. That God, just do the rearranging that needs to be done. Hallelujah. So, Lord, I just pray for Jessica and Brad. Lord, I just bless them with grace, your grace. Lord, you guys judge this, okay? It's not going to hurt my feelings if you don't like it. But I just pray, oh God, that you would just grace them in those areas that they need to let go of some things. I don't have clarity on that. But, Lord, and the reason why is because they have such good hearts and loving hearts, and they don't want to hurt or disappoint anyone. So I ask that you would give them a graciousness to let go without dishonoring, to let go with the intent of maybe hurting, but to do it in such a way where it leaves life and vitality there. And not, Lord, I'm not talking about just a complete breaking away, but I'm talking about, Lord, a grace for a realignment in the days ahead. Lord, and that realignment would bring the fire, the greater intensity of your presence in their life. Lord, as it relates, understanding the passions. They already know the desires that are there and the things that you've heard them whisper during their prayer times and even as a couple as they've talked about it, Lord. And pray, God, that you would bring a greater intensity of purpose, strategy, Lord, and the plan of the Lord to touch these new avenues that you place deep within them. And I also thank you, Lord, and I decree over them just a new level, a deeper level of the joy of the Spirit of God, just the joy of the journey, Father, in Jesus' name, and not be encumbered by life and relationships of life and life itself, of the things that all of us have to do, Lord, in order to make our ends meet, Lord. And I just thank you for that. And I bless them with that. I grace them, Lord, with your presence, oh God. That makes sense. It did? Okay, good. Amen. Anybody else? Lord, I pray for Mildred, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. I just thank you, God, for I just loose her in Jesus' name, Lord, to run. No more holding back. Lord, I matter of fact, I just reach in by the Spirit and take that bit that the world, the flesh, and the devil has tried to restrain her, Lord, in her passions for you and her love for you. And Lord, I just thank you that I grace her with a new freedom now to run hard, run hard, run hard after her love in expressing her love for you and Lord, particularly for her family and extended family, oh God. And even, Lord, in her relationships there in White Springs, God, I just thank you for that. And I just sever all those, ropes, things that bind or try to hold you back. I don't know the word there. I'm struggling with it. But, Lord, I just thank you for that new level of freedom. I grace her with that. Right now, in Jesus' mighty name, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord. Does that make sense to you? Yeah. Lord, we just pray for this precious family, this couple. Lord, we just lay hands. Again, you'll feel free here to chime in. Hallelujah. Lord, I just thank you. Yeah, I just see you making a difference. I keep hearing the words, you're making a difference. You're making a difference. You're making a difference. You're going to step out of the shadows, and don't be afraid to step out of the shadows. Don't be afraid of that desire of your heart to have an impact upon those that you love, whether it be family members or whether it be just people that you casually know. And I just sense there's a new grace being released in you to step out of the shadows. You've been faithful in loving each other. You've been faithful in loving your family. And you've been faithful in serving other people. And now is your time. Those dreams, those desires, some that maybe you really haven't shared with others because it's still so tender in your heart and so big. Overwhelming, that it even tends to scare you as you think about it. And now the Lord is gracing you with a new level of faith to step out of the shadows and step into this new door that God is saying, if you just simply turn the handle, the door will open. It will open. And it'll bring new challenges. But every new challenge, there comes a new level of grace from you. Don't hold back. Press in, press in, press in. Jesus' name. That makes sense. It does? Okay, good. Lord, seal now, Lord, for all of us, myself included, Lord. There's things that it's not like we don't have faith, because we do. We love you. We love your word. We love your presence. But Lord, I want to pray particularly for all of us here that are looking for it's a good thing, Lord. We're looking for the next step. And so, God, we just pray, God, that you would make that clear. I this past week, Lord, my memory verse was Psalms 119, 105, that your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. That verse always impresses upon me. It's thinking about the next step. So let your word, Lord, well up deep in our hearts and soul to a point of overflowing so that we can see and discern clearly that next step, Lord, for fulfilling the things that you've put on our hearts, the desires that are there, Lord, that they're from you. You put them there. And they're good things. And so we thank you for that, God. And we trust you. And we do like Psalms 37. We purpose in our hearts to dwell in the land and to cultivate faithfulness. And so we thank you for your word. And we thank you for the impact that it has made upon our lives and for the continuing impact that it's going to make upon our lives and our families, our marriages, our kids and our grandkids. Lord, it is so good to walk with you. Nobody does us as good as you. And we've got a lot of great people that love us, family that love us. It's just rich, but no, it doesn't touch. Doesn't touch what you do for us. I break off. I'm sorry, I keep getting stuff. I break off shame in the mighty name of Jesus. I break off guilt in the mighty name of Jesus. I break off that attitude that says my Father would never be able to be pleased with me. And I hear you saying, well done, good and faithful servant. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord. And I call forth the roar of your Spirit to resound in our hearts and minds in these days ahead.
I hear the word tenacious. Mm. Don't let go of the words that the Lord has given you. Mm. And what I was trying to do. Don't let go like a bulldog. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And his word is true. He will fulfill it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's good. That's good. Amen. Anybody else? All right now, Lord. I did my best. Now you seal the words that's from your heart to our hearts. You seal it. And I thank you that this week we will see new heights of breakthrough, particularly in our thinking. And as a result of that, in the way that we respond to others. Thank you for a new intentionality for plans and strategies from your Spirit. And I thank you for the creativity. Creativity, Lord. I loose it in Jesus' name. Can you say amen?